Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Monday Night Raw, a.k.a. The Learning Center, with your Sunday morning breakfast family. Tonight, we are going to wrap up our messages on identity crisis. That has been our topic for the week. It's been a great one, as always. So let's go ahead and get it started and bring in our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Ms. Candy.
How are you doing tonight, sir?
Wonderful. What about yourself?
I am.
Good deal, good deal. Well, I look forward to the call tonight as we're going to have two special panel co-hosts with Mr. DJ. We have a panel now. We're going to have Mr. DJ and two co-hosts. Mr. DJ, they want to join you. They want to challenge your mindset, Mr. DJ. So, y'all, this is a Sunday morning breakfast, Monday Night Raw. And as Ms. Candy already stated, that we have been talking about identity crisis for the entire week. And that's the topic that we all need to dive into more and look more closely into, okay? Not only knowing our true identity, but the identity of those who God has called, okay? So with that being said, Ms. Candy, you want to open us up with a prayer, please?
Yes, sir. Father God, we thank you for gathering us once more in your name. Lord, we thank you for each and every soul who is on the line tonight, Lord. And as we wrap up this previous week, we pray, Lord, that the words that you have given us each and every day have been falling on good ground, Lord, and that we are taking this message, Lord, and truly knowing that it is directly from you. Lord, as we move forward into tonight's call and even beyond the call, Lord, we pray that we use what you are giving us to lead and guide our lives, Lord, and that we don't turn away from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. So let us go ahead and get Mr. DJ on. Mr. DJ, how are you?
I'm all right, sir. I'm all right.
Good deal, good deal. So we have two panel guests with you tonight, okay? One, who didn't know it, Miss Tiana Simmons, okay? She's going to be joining you. Also with Miss Sharon Bove, okay?
All right.
So y'all know how we like to do it. We're going to have a great time. If you have any questions, we have some email questions, but if you have any questions or if you just want to ask something that you took away from this call, because I don't know about y'all, but I know this week has been a great learning experience, you know, for the crew here, for the family, all of us family, has been a great learning experience for us. So if it's something that God has prompted you to share with us, please, by all means, do so, because testimonials are good, okay? It shows the glory of God, and surely we want to brag on God. Surely. All right. All righty. So let's go ahead and get started. Mr. DJ, you ready?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Is Ms. Tiana there?
Good evening, sir. Hi, everyone.
How are you?
Great. Thank you. And yourself?
Oh, we're doing great. I know we slid you in on the panel, but, you know, I know you wasn't expecting that, but, hey, that's what it is sometimes. Hey.
That's all. You got to answer, right?
That's right. Miss Sharon, how are you, Miss Sharon?
Good evening, doing good. How are you?
All right, sound like you're calling in from a remote location, so that's good. So wherever you are, we just hope that signal stays strong. Good deal, good deal. She heard me. All right, so Mr. DJ, we're going to go ahead and get it started. And y'all, what we do on Monday nights, we always let Mr. DJ give his recap, and then we're going to get to the email question. So, Mr. DJ, if you want to give us just a minute of your recap throughout this week, what you got?
This week we talked about identity crisis. First and foremost, we all are God's children. That's first and foremost. There's no one person better than anybody. We all pieces of dust. You can't, who are you to say one piece of dust is better than another piece of dust? But because we are God's children, we need to remember that we are part of a royal priesthood. We are God's people for a reason. And when you know who you are, to whom you belong, where you come from, who your dad is, you should act accordingly. You should let it reflect. Certain things you shouldn't do. Certain things you should be patient about and let it show. I saw something today where these two people were arguing about chocolate versus candy. Both of them are sweet. Sound familiar? Both of them are sweet. But there's a difference. Some people saying, no, there's not. Yes, there is a difference between chocolate and candy. See, what you don't realize is that all chocolate is candy, but not all candy is chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
Let that marinate for a minute. How does that tie into us? You got to think about it. Again, we are all God's people. Okay? He created every last one of us, but not everybody follows him.
Mm-hmm.
So identity crisis, you need to reflect, you know, of whom you come from and represent. That's simply put, represent who you are, where you come from.
There it is. All right.
So, y'all, we're going to go ahead and get started with the call. SMB Monday Night Raw, Identity Crisis. Miss Candy, if you don't mind, what is that first email that we got?
All right. The question says, I'm married and raising a preteen daughter with my husband. She found some compromising pictures of us from before we made a commitment to God. How should I handle talking to her about who my husband and I used to be?
Good question. And we're going to go ahead and start the first question with Miss Tiana. What you got, Miss Tiana?
All right. Definitely a great question. The reality is it's time to be honest and look the face in the mirror. If she found the pictures, 16-year-old, she is well aware of what she's looking at. So be honest about this is what occurred. This is what we learned from it. But this is where we were led. And we know not that these are things we should not have done prior to us even being married. But we learned the hard way. And we are grateful for that learning and have the same expectations that our learnings pass on to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been the parent that God has called you to be, then the child should have an understanding of exactly where you're coming from in having that conversation and being honest and open. It shouldn't be a surprise and hopefully not a situation in which she's calling you a hypocrite, because that child has seen the changes in your life because you reflect that in how you're living each and every day.
Okay, Ms. Shirey. Now, what if, with that same question, like Ms. Tiana just alluded to, what if the child does not see the change in you? What if you still going from pillar to post, and this has just happened. So can you repeat that question, Ms. Candy, the email?
Certainly. I'm married and raising a preteen daughter with my husband. She found some compromising pictures of us from before we made a commitment to God. How should I handle talking to her about who my husband and I used to be?
Ms. Shire?
So I would handle the situation being honest. Again, even though the child does not see me making that change or in progress making that change, being honest about that, you know, who I was, if those types of behavior are still there, that's who I am now, but also encouraging my child not to follow in those footsteps, because you are on that path, or, you know, that parent is on that path of, you know, being righteous, being following Christ. So not to look at where I am or where I've been, but continue to encourage that child to move forward and go forward in the things of God. And, you know, like I said, just to be honest, the child have more respect in your honesty and your openness than if you would try to just, you know, close the door, if you will, and not share everything with the child, although the child is able to see certain things.
All right. Mr. DJ, what do you have to say?
I agree, but with a twist. I'm kind of, I totally agree about being totally honest. You know, I would have to be. But I also would hold my head in shame a little bit, because that part of my past should have been gone. if I'm truly in God and I'm married and that's all behind me, stuff like that should have been discarded. You know, no matter what it was, it should have been discarded. Some people hold on to memories. Me personally, when you're doing things that are against God, I don't think that that needs to be held on as a memory. I don't need to have pictures of my backsliding days. You know, I don't need to have that around. And I would let my child know, you know what, I'm very disappointed because just like you found those, somebody else could have found them. And this is important to why I always teach you, you need to be ladylike or you need to be a young man. As an example, I would use myself and say, you know, well, that's a part of me. You know, I'm not proud of that, but it is what it is. And this is why I'm on you so much about not doing this and not doing that. You know, if you found this picture, then, gee, you know, you see how hard it is to get rid of stuff. I thought I threw that thing away. I thought I did this or this or that. So the best way to approach that is not to even be engaged in activity like that. So I would use myself as an example and just be honest.
Good deal. Okay. So just being honest, you know, is a great approach to that. Okay.
Definitely.
Did that help the email question?
Yes, sir. I believe that will all be great, great food to share.
Okay. Good deal. So, y'all, let's get to the next. Do we have any callers with any questions or anything like that, Ms. Candy?
Yes, sir. We do have a caller who's ready.
Okay. What we got?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question or comment for this evening.
Hi. Good evening. The question that I have is, it says, my sister recently got a divorce from her husband of 15 years. And he was the only guy she ever dated prior to her getting married. How can I help to encourage her out of her state of depression when so much of her identity was tied to someone who is no longer in her life?
Repeat that question one more time, please.
My sister recently got a divorce from her husband of 15 years, and he was the only guy she ever dated prior to her getting married. How can I help to encourage her out of her state of depression when so much of her identity was tied to someone who is no longer in her life?
Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you on the panel. What you got?
Awesome. And this question hits me personally. Same situation happened with my sister, and here's what I do. I encourage her. I build her esteem up. She stays in prayer. She's definitely involved in church and has several other activities. I support her in pretty much anything that she's doing that's positive. But we're closer now. I'm not just her brother. I'm her friend. I'm more of her friend now. And I still encourage her as a woman, as a man to a woman. You know, most of us don't look at our sister like a woman. That's just your old big-headed sister. You know, but I encourage her. I give her love and words of encouragement. Listen more. Let her see a different side and perspective of this versus that. And let her know that I'm on her side. She knows I'm going to be objective, but she can always count on me to basically set it like it is. So we stay according to the word and just close family. You know, for that void, I'm filling that void. You know, I can't be that husband, but I can be there for her as her brother. You know, so I'm there for her to where she's not bitter, she's not mad. And like I said, I just stay, you know, encourage her. Just stay there with her and give her all the love and attention that she basically craves.
Mr. Carr?
Oh, I'm just talking out loud. I'm sorry. Ms. Sharon, what you got to say? I'm sorry.
I would, you know, bring her back to, she's not aware of, or she needs to return back to who she is. Definitely prayer, first and foremost, but also bringing her back to finding a relationship with God and allowing God to truly help her to see who she is, and not only who she is, but who she is in him, and allowing him to show her love. Also, her family, you know, support is important, to have that, you know, physical support is important, but most importantly is the relationship with God, because there is where she's able to find who she really is, what he's called her to, and who he has, you know, who he has for her to be in this time. So that's what I would do.
All right. Now, Miss Tiana, it's been 15 years. The only person she's ever dated. Everything
mm-hmm.
is tied to this now ex-husband. Help out. What you got?
Yep. Be truthful with her. Like, that was that relationship. But also reminding her, I agree with what both Sharon and Mr. DJ said about encouragement. But reminding her that she was married to God first, and in her natural marriage, yes, they were one, but they were one as in with God. And she needs to go back to that marriage first and rebuild that relationship. Because once that relationship is rebuilt and again, then she can see that new light, see what ultimately her purpose is. Yes, in this time was with this gentleman who she's been with for all these years and probably from a young age. But that was to lead her to what next that she's supposed to do. But those words of affirmation of and reminding her that, you know, she is God's child. She is married to him, that she is the queen, that she can do all things. And putting it in Christ's hand is what she needs, to do. But be that constant, right? Right now, in a situation where you transition from this one person being a part of your life, she needs a constant. And be that person for her on a consistent basis. But,
yeah. Now, Mr. DJ, okay, you on the panel. You're on the panel every week. This is someone who has 15 years of her life tied into this man, plus that's 15 years of marriage.
Correct.
That's not even dating. So you're
Correct.
Talking about identity is tied into this individual. Is it possible that the identity of God was lost in the shadows? Because typically, you know, when we get involved in a deeply engaged relationship, if it's not under God and the person walks and we're lost, that means, is it possible that we identify them as our new God?
I don't know about identifying them as the new God. And even at that, like I said, in my sister's situation, both of them are deeply in the Word, but there's a broken vessel somewhere. And, you know, he was the head of the house, I mean, as a man should be. You know, they have, of course, personal internal problems, but, I mean, you know, he was, I can still say he's a true man of God. And even to this day, they're still friends.
Uh-huh.
They are better friends than they are, I guess, man and wife, but was, and I don't want to say strange, that's how I know God is still present and everything is possible through him. You would never be able to tell that they're not married. That's how good they get along. They still go on vacations and all of this good stuff, got kids. You would never know that they're not married. So anything is possible through God. But at any point someone tells you they don't love you no more or they don't want to be married to you, you need to listen. Because you can't force it. You can't make them. Only thing you can do, which is what my sister does, is pray and leave it in God's hands. She has not strayed her faith. And I'm not saying that's easy. By no means am I saying that's easy. It would have been easier if he had a built-in reason, like if he beat her or was in drugs or something like that. But, you know, those kinds of issues, when it comes to, that's why God protects married people. But I'm just saying, you know, you let go and let God. You know, if it's meant to be, it'll work it out. So hold fast to your faith, you know, pray, but I would make her as comfortable as possible. You know, our families still, both families still intertwine and think, you know, and very receptive towards one another. So, you know, I can say possibilities all day long, you know. But you know, standard to it, you know, host, be a rock. That's the main thing. Be a rock for that sister.
I got you. Any callers wanted to chime in on this? You know, it's been 15 years. What advice can you give her? I mean, you know, she's been married 15 years and, you know, somewhat in the shadows. You can presume, yeah, we all have been there, you know. It's like when you lose a relationship and, you know, even when you're younger, you know, and your identity was tied to that person. And now that that person no longer wants you or you no longer want that person, it's like you're in shambles. But if you still have God, did that other person become your God? Did you identify them as God? Because if you still have God and you still have what you really wanted, what's the problem?
Well, Mr. Carr, even if your heart is into it, especially if that's the man, he's supposed to be one of your spiritual leaders. So you're going to feel a certain type of way. I wouldn't say make that person your God, but you're going to hurt. You're going to feel a pinch because that's the person whom who was supposed to be your one of the leaders in your life and vice versa.
Hands down. Now, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. It becomes to a point that says, follow me as I follow Christ. See, this is what happens even in the natural church, because you can take that relationship and view it as in the church relationship. A lot of times we would not move from a church. Y'all know this. We're talking about the marriage and this. But we would not move a church even though we know it's not for us. But we have made something our God. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If your Bible is your God, you're about to miss God himself.
Right.
Amen.
We make our Bible our God as opposed to the Bible says, hide the word of God in your heart. Meaning, you can take my Bible. I will stand on my Bible physically. Some people won't. They're talking about, oh, that's a shame. That's a book. It can be burnt. It can be stolen. It's a book. But we put more prestige on the Bible as opposed to the God in it.
Amen.
So we put more prestige on the individual who we're in a marriage with 15 years, as opposed to the God in it. When God leaves, it's time for you to leave anyway.
Yes, indeed.
I catch that identity crisis, because we will identify, y'all need to hear this, with a sinner real quick when God told you to leave, and you won't. So God will do what you wouldn't do. Since you wouldn't leave, he'll make them leave sometimes. And he will challenge to see who is your God. Because if you still have God and you're distraught, that means something ain't right. A pinch is different. Now, we can take it to the Bible. Okay? Do you not understand God gave us leaders because we didn't want him as one?
Yes.
Come on, y'all. We talked about Jews and Gentiles. Remember that? People wanted a leader so bad. In other words, they placed another God before God. See, we think that placing another God is, I'm worshiping. No, 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 no. Placing another God is who you give all your time, attention, and love to.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Miss Candy, Mr. DJ, Miss Sharon, Miss Tiana. Miss Sharon, if you have a bank account that you've had for 15 years engaged with, but although you've been engaged with that bank account for 15 years, if your super bank account that you've had all your life says get rid of that one, you get rid of it. But if you lose the 15-year bank account, although you say this is my super relation, super bank account, and that one has no, in other words, if you put more stock into the 15-year one as opposed to the one you say you've had all your life, guess which one is more important?
Right.
Okay. If we lose something small and minute, yeah, the pinch and sting, but it still doesn't take away the fact that we identified others. Do you not understand you can make somebody your God real quick? You can make Mr. Carr your God real quick. Most people won't teach like this. By saying what Mr. Carr said. See, stop saying what Mr. Carr said and tell me what God said if you have a relationship with him.
All right.
You, your spouse, y'all, it is very vitally important. I'm telling you, people put marriage and the spouse as a god before God himself. Because, see, here's the problem. When God said move, do you move? But when your spouse said move, what you do? So who's your god? Because whoever your god is who you listen to.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Come on, people. Come on, people. If my child not my god, well, why then do I cry and shed tears when they leave? I raised you to leave. I ain't raised you to stay. I got my spouse. I'm with my spouse. My spouse, God, so if I'm raising you to leave, and if you leave, so be it. I wasn't connected to you by the hip anyways. Did you get it? My identity is not connected. That's a physical marriage. If somebody decides to leave you, what can you do? That's not my God, though. Yeah, I'll catch that now one day. See, this is the thing. We get married and we want to involve God in the marriage as opposed to involving the marriage in God.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're in an identity crisis from the get-go. So now you have to take this woman who's been married for 15 years and that's the only person she knew. Let's just imagine if God was the only person she knew. And we always say, put your trust in God, thy man. So why do you not apply that here? Come on, y'all. We very astute when it comes to being in God. Identity crisis. Right? In other words, you know, I like football, but if you take football away from me, I ain't going to cry. God gave me ability, so if he didn't want me to play it, oh, well. Now what? But that takes a mature person to say that. In other words, they know their true identity. But if I ball out because football gone, that means I identify with football, not the God that gave it.
Yep.
Y'all don't want to hear me because, see, this is reaching deep to some people. Because we're going to play those emotional games with this lady who need a word from God. Remember, the Bible says sound doctrine. See, people wouldn't want to hear this thing. Y'all know I've done marriage counseling, and they met me one time, a lot of people, and they don't want to hear nothing else. You know why? Because they don't want to know the truth.
Amen.
So what's going to happen is people are going to come around and start pitter-pattering with their feelings, and you're going to have them more and more an emotional identity crisis, and they never see God, because they have put other people before God, and that's their God. That's why they're crying. I don't think you heard me. I'm not crying over no job that I lose. God gave it, God can take it. Oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
But if you cry over a job that you lose, that means that job was your God.
Right.
Uh-oh. See, people don't want to hear that. You know why? Because we're in an identity crisis, and we're identifying with the way the world views it, not the way God views it.
Yes.
Come on. Come on, people. You think I'm lying? What did he tell Mary and Martha? Why do you cry? He sleep.
Yes.
Huh? Do you think God is going to cry when people go to hell?
Mm-hmm.
Well, y'all don't hear me.
Nope.
Because, see, this is deeper than that 15-year marriage. Do you think that the God you serve is going to cry when people go to hell? It's a question.
No.
So you don't think that God loves people more than you love your spouse? Come on, he is love. Answer that question for me, somebody. Do you think that God is going to cry and be all in his feelings when people go to hell? It's a question.
No, sir.
He's not going to cry? Because if you didn't identify with Christ, what he got to cry for?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
We get caught up in the situation, the stigma of marriage, as opposed to the God that wasn't in it. Because the Bible says what man, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. So if it's separated, oh well, God, it must not be in front of me. Somebody might say, well, you stand there from a place of, I'm standing there from a place of God. You think your marriage strong? Well, he said he's married to the backslider. But if you choose to leave him, do you think he's going to cry? Answer that. God's going to cry because you divorce him? Answer that. See, when God is your God and not that individual who left you, you already know. In other words, your hope wasn't in them in the first place. See, we can't conceive that in our mind because we're dealing with identity crisis, because we are either cold or hot, Mr. DJ. Ms. Sean, we're cold or hot. In other words, if I'm going to be with you, I'm going to invest in you. But see, how we should be is if I'm going to be with you, both of us need to be investing in God.
Amen.
So we start investing in each other, and we put each other on a pedestal. And if you put each other on so much of a pedestal, where does God fit in?
Yes, sir.
The Bible that I read says when you go to work, you don't put your boss on a pedestal. The Bible that I read that motivates me, I'm telling y'all, it literally says, I'm talking about 15 years of marriage, right? It literally says, work as if you're working unto God. That means I don't see the boss. I see who his boss is. I work like I'm working to God. So when I work like I'm working unto God, he's just getting the benefit of the labor.
Amen.
My natural boss. So when I love you like I'm loving God, my spouse just get the natural benefit of that. Uh-oh. Woo! That's some deep stuff, people. That's some deep stuff. In other words, if you focus in your marriage more on the way that God loves you and you love that person like God loves you, you'll be all right. But see, we focus on the person and we don't focus on God. Hello, somebody.
It's the truth.
You know you can make your spouse a God, especially when you can make your child one.
That's true.
You can make your child a God. You don't chastise them. You befriend them. You do none of what God tells you to do. So if you don't listen to God, how is he your Lord? How is he your master? Master, Lord, Lord, master. You listen to, you will follow what you have chosen as your master, your God. But some people, even in denial, identity crisis when it comes to money. This is why he said, one, you're going to love and serve. The other one, you would despise. But you can't have two. And some Christians are in an identity crisis, and they would tell you differently. You can't serve both God and money. That is a lie. Because if you're calling God a lie, something wrong in the first place. God says you can't. Now, here we're going to be crafty with our words and say, well, you know what I mean, and you're trying to be crafty. Sound like Satan. He always got something to say, huh? You know the person who always talk back when God says something? So who you identify with again? Make sense, people?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Let's get to the next email. Okay, anybody had another question?
Yes, sir. We do have another caller.
Come on, let's get to it.
Evening caller, go ahead with your question or comment for this evening.
Okay, my question was pertaining to the question that was just asked. Okay, what if the person was not in God? Neither one, the spouse or her spouse was not in God. I understand what y'all was saying, that if both of them in Christ, you know, just keep seeking, you're married to God. But what if they wasn't even there? And she, this is the only person that she have known for 15 years. I can only go by my experience. I was married for 25 years, and we wasn't in Christ. So what if that's the case? What do you do then?
Can I dress your question up?
Uh-huh.
I'm going to start with you first, Mr. DJ, then Ms. Shira, then Ms. Tiana. Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you. You got two people in Christ. Is divorce possible?
Possible?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible clearly defines reasons and grounds for divorce.
you can make a mistake, you can stray, you can be in Christ and stray. So I'm going to say yes, it is possible.
Okay, okay.
But your chances of, if you're in Christ, the chances of it happening are far less if you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, it's pretty much bound that way.
No, gotcha, I got you. All right, Ms. Shire, what you got?
I would also agree and say, yes, it is possible for divorce, but that won't be the first way to resolve whatever's going on in the relationship. And it depends on the grounds, you know, whatever the grounds are in the relationship, because there are parameters for divorce in Christ. But I do, you know, I believe that there is grounds for divorce, but that won't be the first. In
the
attempt to resolve
whatever he's going on. All right, y'all smart. Miss Tiana, what about you?
Just to add some flavor to the conversation is, if you're both truly, truly in Christ, then your marriage should have been solidified and solid and should have been God-led. There should be no reason for divorce. There just should be no reason. Because you are leaning on your understanding and guidance of God, so no matter what comes your way, you are working towards it together and maintaining Him as the foundation of your relationship. So, to me, then it's not possible.
Oh, that's strong. Well, we got y'all problem. Ms. Kate, I'm gonna let you chime in right quick.
Everything Miss Tiana just said is what I was thinking. Yeah, all of that.
Okay. Hold on, I ain't done. I'm going to let Mr. DJ get his spin back at it. They challenging that, Mr. DJ. What you got?
Well, I'm going to still say the Bible tells us to lean not to your own understanding. So I totally agree with Miss Tiana. But at the same time, that word possible, that's what puts a spin on it. That's why I said the chances of it happening are pretty slim if both of you all are in the Word and in God. You know, if God is the head of it, then He's going to handle His business. But that's why He's God. He's God all by Himself. Sometimes,
gotcha.
Like you said, you know, if you two people can be in Christ and, you know, certain things happen for a reason. We don't know why. We don't know. We don't understand. But you follow God, don't question it, and it'll work out. I mean, sometimes for the best, sometimes you don't know. You know, case in point, you know, you speed in a vehicle. And we all tend to speed time and time. And then we get mad when somebody pull out in front of us and go slow. But what you're not realizing, yes, you could be in the Word. I mean, you know, you speeding. But, you know, God put that person there to slow you down because He doesn't want you to get in an accident. Or it was an accident up ahead. Or delay you from you going to the bank to cash your check. Well, did you know they held up the bank about an hour before you got there? So I'm just saying you never know what's going on. But, again, the chances of you guys divorcing are pretty much slim, real, real slim.
Identity crisis, y'all. This is the Sunday morning breakfast, Monday Night Raw. Both of those answers are actually correct. I'm going to tell you why. It's what you choose to identify with. Now, hear me out with this. So Mr. DJ said it's possible. Now, given the circumstance, if both of you are in Christ as of right now, okay, is it possible? That's strong. That's tough. Because when you say in Christ, you got to deem it to be like in heaven. Do you think divorce is possible in heaven? Not a chance. Not so much. Look, it's not a chance that it's not possible. So much so that heaven is so strong that God said He married to the backslider. In other words, God knew what you was going to do before you did it, and He's still married to you. He loved you.
That's right.
Okay? Now, here goes the second part of that where Mr. DJ is accurate as well. Then you have the mind that identifies with, hold on, we can be in Christ, but we do wrong. So if somebody do wrong, I have the right to, you see? Y'all see where I'm going with that? So in the perfect world, nobody's done wrong. We both was in Christ from the get-go. You know, it don't matter. We'll come our way. We good because we under God, and we're not divorcing nothing.
Amen.
We have the other identity that we identify with that says, hold on, in the natural, people do wrong. And they be still be in Christ, but they do wrong. So if they do wrong and they in Christ, I still have the right to use my Christ knowledge and say, hey, I no longer want to be a part of that. Although you're still in Christ and you got back right, I still have the right to say no. Y'all follow me?
Yes, sir.
So both answers are correct, but it's good. Well, not good, but great dialogue. Okay? Because we have to identify, okay, on both levels. We are Christians, but we have a natural flesh that we're wrapped around. Everybody agree?
Yes,
right. Okay. Move on to the next email question. I'm going to start with you first, Ms. Shire, and then I'm going to go to you, Ms. Tiana, then you, Mr. DJ. The question is this. In the day of judgment, if I'm married to a perpetual sinner, will God identify me as one as well?
I would say yes, because the Bible tells us that when we join together in marriage, you can become one. So if my husband has been a perpetual sinner, then I will be judged with him because we're one.
Mm-hmm. Who else there was next? Ms. Tiana?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like, you're that brave, right? You got married. You're together. You are one. That's what God sees you as. So one sinner, both sinners.
Mr. DJ, they're giving me all these on the panel. They're giving me all these spiritually correct answers because you know when they get off this phone, they'll be like, shoo, that's him. I ain't going to hell with you.
Hey, you right.
Use your divorce right.
What you got, Mr. DJ?
You know, I'm going to just quote that little saying from Good Times. United we stand, divided we fall. Tighter than standing holes, two sides small. We the awesome foursome until we dead. I mean, but I'm going to tell you the fact and reality is if you married that joker and you know he wasn't in the word, then shame on you. It ain't going to last long no way. And God ain't gonna know you. It's a travesty. And I wanted to put this on Facebook. You can't wake the kids up and take them to Sunday school and church and be in the Word, and your husband over there just coming in from the club and drunk and messing up. And that's supposed to be the person whom you went before Christ and said, "I'm gonna follow him as my husband," or even your wife. I mean, the man is responsible. Hands down, the man is responsible. So, yes, you will be judged accordingly. Because if he ain't right, then you ain't right. I mean, it is what it is. If you don't like him and say, well, that's on him. Okay, well, why are you laying with him? Why you got a ring representing him? Decisions, you know. So you made the decision to be with the joker. So it is what it is. You're going to be held accountable.
All right, now.
By association. Mm-hmm.
Any callers out there? Because somebody texted me and said, but the Bible says that the strong can bear the infirmities of the weak. So if I'm strong in Christ, shouldn't we be able to make it to heaven?
Well, that doesn't apply to the marriage law. You can be strong as Superman. But if you lay with the devil, you're going to be like the devil. You drink with the devil, you're going to be drunk with the devil. I mean, you eat at the devil's table, I'm sorry. It is what it is.
All right. Any callers out there? Give me a caller. I want a caller to challenge Mr. DJ. What you got? A caller? Star 5 was right quick. What we got? Come on, Ms. Brandon, Ms. Artita, somebody. I know y'all over there, y'all itching at them fingers. I mean, nobody look. It's just us on the phone, it's family. What you got?
Well, sir, Ms. Artita has her hand raised for a question. Would you like me to go to her for this as well?
Of course, go ahead.
Ms. Artito, are you there?
I'm not going to challenge that, Mr. Carr, because it is what it is. You're one, so you'll be judged as one.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Boy, that make everybody sit back and look. Now, if you think over your last 10 years, if you're not married, you know, all them people, because Mr. DJ just said the Joker had to be a man. It could be a woman now. He went on through the men under the bus like we the sinners. But, but if you think over your last 10 years and you was just so in love, and if God identified with you with your person that you were so in love with and you knew where y'all were, woo, what y'all think?
Mm.
Somebody said, I don't have to go 10 years. I can go yesterday. Thank God.
Amen.
Huh? Y'all, so when you're married, okay, identity crisis, man, isn't it so ironic and crazy when you see one who identify with Christ and the other who identify with the world? Isn't that crazy?
It really is.
And Mr. Carr, we shouldn't apologize for identifying with Christ neither. I'm so receptive of this topic this week because oftentimes we're ridiculed for doing what's right. You know, if you're smart, if you're in your books, they call you a nerd or lame or square. But you can be just as big as fool and don't know nothing. And then, you know, street credit. Street credit then outweighs God's credit. And I don't like that. You know, same way within your marriage. Are you trying to do something? Oh, he a holy roller. You know, he's a Bible man. Well, I like for God to call me that. You know, that doesn't bother me. I'm just saying, you know, oftentimes, you know, you get criticized for doing the right thing. You know, not when, and the word I'm looking for is character. I often tell my child, character is what you do when nobody else is around and nobody is looking. That's what's character right there. You don't. Nobody should have to be on you to you know, I teach you what to do right from wrong, but I shouldn't have to stay over you. You know, you're supposed to do right because it's the right thing to do, you know?
All right. That's what it is. All right. Well, Ms. Artita, since you didn't want to send that one, what question did you have for us?
Okay. Let's say you have a person whose grandparents chose not to follow, who knew God but chose not to follow him, and the parents were not taught to follow God, so they didn't teach you that, you know, because they didn't know. How do you know that you're supposed to identify with God if you've never been introduced?
I'm going to start with you, Ms. Shira. You was being mighty quiet over there. What you got?
Well, that kind of goes back to what we talked about a little bit with Moses. You know, Moses had a choice to make as to who he would follow as opposed to being with the Egyptians or with the Jews, and he chose to go back to his when he identified with as a Jew. With the fact that we know that, you know, God, he speaks to us and we are aware. I mean, he speaks to us and we don't always know, but, you know, he does. And if that individual has a desire to know who God is and that desire is so strong that, you know, no matter what his parents may have known or her parents may have known or grandparents before that, that they can go and follow, you know, God because he's speaking to them himself. And he can reveal himself to a person no matter what their background is. And so if that individual has that desire to know who God is and God is speaking to them, then by all means allow them to continue to follow that voice who is God. And even if they say, well, I don't realize, he can reveal himself in a way that they will identify and them becoming and developing their relationship in Christ can also help his parents or her parents as well as the grandparents too.
All right. Y'all got to applaud. That's the most Shiren has talked since 2012. Thank you, Shiren. That being said, we're going to leave that question right there. Ms. Artita, did they help you?
It did.
Okay, good deal, good deal. Boy, she done sparked something in Shiren. All right. So I have two questions. This is from downtown Leroy Brown. Okay, I'm going to start with you first, Miss Tiana. It says, if a woman hyphenates her name, is she having an identity crisis? I believe she is.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
Wait a minute, talking about Miss Tiana, go ahead.
This is so funny to me because I literally saw a colleague post this the other day. Should I take his name or should I hyphenate? And you know, in that post, a friend of hers said, "Well, what does the Bible say?" And she quickly responded back, "Oh, I don't read the Bible. I'm not Christian."
Oh no.
And yes, and then quickly response came back and said, "Well, it says that you're to take his name, because if you're choosing to marry, then you should be choosing to marry in God, and God first. And when you are a woman, you leave your family to join your husband, and you take his name. You are no longer with your family. You are a part of your husband. You both leave your families, and you take his name. That is what God calls us to do." So, hyphenate. No, you take his name.
Mr. DJ, what you got to say? Is that an identity crisis or what?
Oh, boy. I'm going to agree. You know, certain people say certain things are traditions, but turn to the text. Turn to the Bible and do what thus says the word. You know, oftentimes, Mr. Carr, we don't even get the big piece of chicken no more, yet alone the name change, you know. But, you know, the Bible says that you're supposed to, you know, go with that man, and that's it. I mean, you know, oftentimes a lot of females will say, "Well, I'm the only girl in my family, and I want to continue on the legacy of my parents." But in actuality, you are the legacy, and that name, that doesn't change the branch of the tree. I mean, you know, you the roots are there. So I totally agree and say, yeah, that's an identity crisis. Sometimes it's personal stuff to where they just don't want to give up that name. I've even seen women that like their initials, and that'll mess up their initials, you know. It's more of an ego and identity. I still say yes, because you're still putting yourself before what's biblical. So either way it goes, I still say yes. I agree.
Okay, women out there, because I know, you know, some women, we got some professional women in this. You know, their name has been Jada Pinkett.
Right.
I want people to identify me as Jada Pinkett. You know, they'll still know Smith, but Jada Pinkett Smith. Is that okay, somebody? Is that an identity crisis, or is that fair? Come on, y'all, don't hold back now.
They gonna say that because of money, Mr. Carr. But I mean, hey, they don't want to give up.
Okay, do we have anybody who want to chime in on that?
We don't have anyone with a hand raised, but I was gonna say that just how Mr. DJ was talking about it being ego, I was thinking selfishness is the reason why a lot of people do that. I have girlfriends who have defend it to tooth and nail. You know, this is my name, this is my this and my that, and I'm marrying him. But, and then when, who was it, Jay-Z goes and puts a part of Beyonce's name on his name, that just gave all of these people free reign to think that that was okay. But it's really, really selfish, because if I'm marrying you, and if I'm marrying you under God, then none of that even matters. And I know that I'm marrying you, I'm becoming one with you. I'm not still worried about my initials or how my name sounds. And even when you bring up the stars and stuff, a lot of them will legally change their name to match their husband's, but then still keep a stage name. Even with that, that's a division, because you're putting on two different lives. But people will say, oh, you know, they're famous, they're popular. But what's more important, being famous or popular, or being one with your husband?
Mm. Yeah, that's what it is, because I don't think that we get a chance as God's bride to hyphenate our name, because, as a matter of fact, he has a whole new name for us.
That's right.
So that very well may work here, but it's not going to work there, because, see, then we're not going to say we want to hyphenate. We're going to say, Jesus, we want to ride in on your coattail. Because there's only one way to the Father, and it's through who?
Through the Son.
Bet you we won't hyphenate it then, huh?
Amen.
His name is Christ.
Amen.
So be ready, all right? Downtown Leroy Brownhead, one more question. I'm going to start with you, Miss Tiana, then go to you, Miss Shiren, and then I'm going to finish it up with Mr. DJ. And this is the question. Why is it that everyone, when it comes to relationships, always say what a real man is? Is that not an identity crisis by tempting a man, especially when, in fact, Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness and said, if you are the Son of God, tell those stones to become bread?
It is a temptation, because who are you to tell anyone what a real man is? Only God can define what real is. And I guess this is a personal pet peeve of mine, just telling somebody who they are and who they aren't, that's not okay unless you are speaking from what God's given you to share. But a real person, the reason why people out there, you're not a real man. Why am I not a real man? What, because I don't identify with what you want me to identify with? That's your problem, not the individual's. If they are standing upright and doing what they're calling to do, living out their purpose, well, then they as real as it comes and should be acknowledged and appreciated for that, and not be put down due to doing right and being righteous and being the real person that God called them to be.
Well, this is good, because y'all know we see this all the time. See, women, y'all going to be quiet because we're on the phone talking about God. But you know, when that other identity come out, you know, Sasha, or Tisha, y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Then y'all ain't going to be so holy. Shiren's, what we call them people? Our alter ego, that other identity crisis. Shiren's is Preacher.
That's right. As well as St. John.
Now let us pray with DJ right quick. So, but y'all see it all the time, right? They say a real man never stops trying to show a woman how much she means to him, even after he's got her. See, he's like, to me, he needs to be doing all the work and not you. A real man just loves all your curves, no matter what size you are. It seems like me, somebody not even trying to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
A real man gonna take care of all the business. So what does a real woman do? Because we got all these what a real man is, like you the Bible. So what Bible should men read for women? Y'all, the floor is open, yeah. Don't just let Mr. Carr talk. Women, step up. Defend your position. Nobody want to step up.
Mr. Carr, and this is a twist. I know it's not my turn, but I would agree about the identity crisis. The thing is, if that's your personal opinion, when you say what a real man does or what a real woman, you can tell me what says the word, you know, and what's a godly man or Christian woman, I can tell you that. But when you start giving your personal opinion, you know, I don't know how you get down. You know, I don't know how you were raised. You know, you could come from four generations of ignorance, and that's all you know. So that don't mean I got to follow it according to what your mom and grandma and them did. You know, y'all might get down to where y'all don't even have napkins, you know, or nothing. Y'all just, you know, just doing ignorant stuff. That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, your paw might hit your mama. You know, a real man know how to handle a woman. You know, I wasn't raised that way. So I'm just saying, you know, you can tell me what says the book, you know, and we can use that as a guide. But according to personal opinions, oh, no.
Okay. Ms. Shiren, I'm going to let you get in on this since Ms. DJ cut the line. Go ahead.
I think that it is an identity crisis. I think that when a woman talks like that, she's speak from a place of insecurity within herself, and not allowing herself to do the things that she's saying a real man can do. Because most times when that state is coming from a place of materialistic things, and so I would say yes. And another part of that is just being able to, as a woman, to rise up and do those things that you're saying. Because a real man, when he sees you doing, then he's going to be attracted to that real woman doing her work. So,
has anybody ever seen this one or heard this one? A real man know that a real woman has her own money, but he don't let her spend it? Shoot, you're going to pay that bill.
Okay.
Dude. That ain't real. If you created it.
Okay.
They talk about that. See, that's why I don't call in this call. Oh, that's real.
You got three pairs of shoes, and I got to pay for 28 of them?
Oh, because here's the thing. Do unto others so as you would have them do unto you. So could I do that to you?
That's right.
Oh, my goodness.
Y'all see what I'm talking about? See, what happens, Ms. Sharon said it's insecurity. I would challenge that because we have something, you know, Monday Breakfast, Monday Night Raw. I don't believe it's insecurity. I believe it's coming from a place that wants to manipulate, much like Satan did. He knew who Jesus was, and he said, if you be the Son of God. So who tempts? The Bible says that God tempts no one. Uh-oh. So who do we identify with? Now we're tempting someone. We're trying to provoke them to get them to do, y'all know there's a form of witchcraft when you try and control people through your words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you be a real man, well, you're about to call me fake then. You're about to call Mr. Carr fake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fake to you because I'm not listening to that foolishness. If I got to prove myself to you by doing what you want me to do, are you proving yourself to me by doing what I want you to do? Because what I want you to do is, like the woman, you know, that you say, you know, I'm that, like Ruth, Naomi, I think you should be like that. So if you're a real woman, be like that. I'm waiting. You got to go look that one up, though, right?
Mm. Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
When people put dynamics on something, they're trying to manipulate you to get you to do something that they want you to do, no longer what God wants you to do.
That's right.
So now you identify with becoming their personal slave. Do you realize it or not? Because they say, I know my worth. And if you want my worth, you'll do A, B, and C.
Mm.
Hmm? Y'all see that? So when you agree to that jargon, you are in an identity crisis. Because if you identify with Christ, you would know that you never tempt no one to do what you want them to do.
Amen.
Mr. Carr.
Yes, sir.
I have a question for you, and this is, and for any other men that's out there listening. Ain't that how we kind of fall into it from the get-go? Because there is no manual on how to please a woman or even how to talk to a woman. You know, when we're young, the only thing we want to do is play. We're not serious. We just, you know, we play. We boys. And then the females are that's like real serious. They, you know, they've been taught how to sit with their legs a certain way and a purse. And, you know, you're in fourth grade and she already talking about you're going to be my husband. And, you know, this, that, and the other one. Only thing we want to do is play. But as we grow older and more foolish, they'll say, well, if you want to be my friend or my boyfriend, then you got to buy me this. Or if you really love me, you got to buy this teddy bear for Valentine's Day. Well, you got to do that, and we succumb to a lot of that, of the world. And there are some guys that do that same foolishness as well, but I'm just saying it's more prevalent with us. How do we combat that? I mean, other than just, I guess, taking your boy aside, moms too, you know, taking your boy aside and letting them know, no, bro, you got to be yourself. Either she going to like you for you or not, you know?
Well, here's the thing. We put such identities on, you know, we say that the female is the weaker, and we know this. So we shift identities, Ms. Candy, when it's beneficial. We shift it. In other words, open the door for a woman, which you should do. Do this and do that for a woman, which you should do. So you're treating her as the weaker, right? But then we exploit that and say, I can be independent on another end.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now we're building up one where we're lacking with another.
Okay.
And then we say our men in prisons after the fact. But it was never a life of building him up. It was one of building the female. I have a daughter, people, building her up. But if we be identified in Christ, we're going to build both up at the same time.
Amen.
Both up at the same time. We would raise her to follow God, much like we would raise him to follow God. Okay?
Right.
It wouldn't be raising, I will not raise my daughter to go out and find a husband. I will raise my daughter, I raise my daughter to follow God. Much like Ruth, and you get to work for God, and whatever God sends you, so be it, because everybody won't be married. So your identity, you do not see some people gain an identity when they get that shining ring on their finger. Now they're happy. Wow.
Amen.
So marriage makes you happy, but I thought you was married already.
Mm.
Well, okay.
Y'all know I ain't lying, because when some people get married, all of a sudden their worth escalates.
Yep.
You didn't even hear about them until they got married.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm?
That's right.
That's true, right?
Some of them ain't attractive until they get married, Mr. Clark.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is the truth. And then some men who don't identify with God don't know no better, and they're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
So he don't know how to be a man from the get-go, because if he's not in God, he can't identify with God. So how can he actually bring to you a holy household?
Mm.
But you're okay with, you know, less than holy household as long as you wear the pants.
Mm.
You make the rules. See, there's an identity crisis going on. Because if she wear the pants, what is he wearing? Mm. This is not a male chauvinistic. This is God's honest truth. Here's the thing, just like in marriage. See how Adam tried to separate from Eve? He said, that woman, look at the identity crisis at the end. Adam, player, you about to get a punishment just like she about to get one. And I do believe that God cursed Adam and Eve. She was going to have labor pains and birth pains, and he was going to work. And that, tell me, is that curse not still here?
Sure is.
How we tried to separate, they tried to separate one from the other? They didn't want to identify with each other?
Right.
Y'all see it? So when we're raising young men and young women, and you know that we've been dealing with identity crisis, reverse what you teach them versus what you have grown up in. See, we typically say, well, this is how I was raised. Please don't do that, especially if you was raised outside of God, because you're going to mess up that child's identity.
Mm-hmm.
That means I know where I faltered and failed. Let me not give them that identity. Let me not raise my son up to be a whoremonger. Let me not raise my daughter up to be one who is looking for a husband. So all she does is, she doesn't go to school to get an education. She actually goes to school to see who's there and, you know, build a relationship. So it was never for the education. It was about who I can meet to provide for my family one day.
Mm.
And if you think I'm lying, you better go across the street and ask your counterparts, because in Caucasian America, they do that for real. They send theirs to school and colleges to meet people. Why you think, oh, y'all better look at the identity, why you think they stay-at-home moms? You take a wild guess.
Mm-hmm.
You take a wild guess. You think that was just embedded in them? That identity was given to them from day one. So if they have identities in that culture, and, you know, what do we give ours? Do we give ours the one of Christ? Being able to identify with God? Like Mr. DJ said, nobody wants to be a holy roller. Nobody wants to be saved. Nobody wants to be knowledgeable in God. You don't want to be that up until the day of judgment. See, when Katrina strikes Hurricane Katrina, then y'all want to know God. When that tornado comes, then everybody want to talk about who the one who knows God when prayer. Uh-huh. But what about all this other time? We walking around like Peter, denying Jesus. We want to blend in and identify with the world. So we think we spiritual chameleons. Whatever we touch. So what people say, when in Rome, do what the Romans do, that is a lie. When on earth, I'm going to do what they do in heaven. No identity crisis there. We should be in an identity crisis, people. You know who God created you to be. Be that, even if people don't like it. What will happen is they got to respect it, though.
That's right.
Y'all understand?
Yes, sir.
All right. So thank y'all for calling in. The panel guests, Miss Sharon and Miss Tiana, and always Mr. DJ. Mr. DJ, you want to pray for us right quick?
Sure. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for bringing us together, to come together to uplift your name, Father. I pray the prayer of safety and education and wisdom. Just cover us with your blood, Father. Help us to learn more and grow more about you, Father. Everybody that's under the sound of my voice, keep us safe and on the path to righteousness, Father, even though we may stray sometimes. Thank you for bringing us back. I also want to say thank you for waking us up, Father, just truly knowing you and bringing us together. I ask these blessings in your name, your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night. Catch us Wednesday for Bible study. Y'all have a great night.
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.